Let's pray. Lord God, help us to appreciate this grace and truth. Help us bring our lives to you this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there are many Christmases on sale in Australia today. We're a consumer culture, and just like pretty much every other commodity, Christmas can be packaged and marketed and distributed and modified and ripped off and reworked and relaunched and put on sale. And the question is, which Christmas have you been sold this year? Have you got the real thing, or have you got a cheap imitation that won't last you past Boxing Day and your quest for a new buzz? Some of the Christmases that are being promoted today, well, there's the Christmas of lots of eating, the Christmas of rich food and drinks. There's the Christmas of sentimentality, candles and charity events and sing-alongs and Salvation Army bands. There's the Christmas of summer holidays, the beach balls, the beach towels, the sunglasses, the surfing Santa, the sunscreen, the cricket. There's the Christmas of classic movie reruns on TV, or maybe you'll binge watch a new series on Netflix, or head to the cinemas on Boxing Day for a new release. There are so many Christmases on offer, and as consumers, we just pick and choose one that suits our mood, maybe one that suits our budget, suits our commitment level, or maybe our lack of commitment. See, most of the Christmases on offer are good for a while, but they're not permanent, they're not life-changing. Most of the Christmases on offer have no place for God, except maybe some carol lyrics which are still mentioning God because they haven't yet been replaced by secular songs about snow and sleigh bells. Well, this morning I want to speak about two aspects of the original Christmas. Christmas before it was a public holiday, Christmas before it got commercialized and westernized and mass-produced as a cultural event. When we look at the first Christmas, we find it's not some mishmash of traditions which we should keep at arm's length, but it actually addresses very personal issues, very personal challenges that all of us face. And that is the need for light and the need for family. See, firstly, Christmas is about the coming of light into the world. John 1:4 describes Jesus as the light of all people. Notice the claim is not just Jesus is light for the Jewish people, his own ethnic group. He's not just light for first century people, his people in his time. No, the claim is that Jesus is universally light for everyone. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus is true light and he gives light. So let's unpack that image for a moment. We know that light is essential for life. The Bible says God created the universe. And so what scientists refer to as the Big Bang is something caused by God. God said, let there be light at the beginning of time, and there was. And light dispels darkness. Throughout the Old Testament, there's this link between light and life and safety, and that's contrasted with darkness, in which there's a link to death and danger. Thieves rob at night. Killers come under cloak of darkness. Travelers get lost if they journey at night. And death is described as an endless night of darkness. But light casts out all these problems. In the Bible, light becomes a symbol for goodness and blessing. People of the light do good deeds rather than evil deeds, which are done by people of darkness. And God's presence with his people is symbolized in the temple through lamps that never go out. And in churches today, often, you know, a candle flame is a reminder that God is present to bless and heal and comfort his people. Light is also a symbol of truth. God's word is a lamp that lights up a path through life. God's law enlightens those who follow it. So that's the way that we often hear about light throughout the Bible. And now let's think about what is claimed in John chapter 1. Jesus is the true light who's come into the world. everything that I've just described about truth and safety and blessing, that's all in Jesus, and he's coming. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." For Israel in this period in history, the darkness that endangered them was the political and military might of a neighboring superpower. And that was coupled with social injustice, and there were hypocritical or corrupt religious leaders in the nation at that time. And Isaiah prophesied that a king would be born who would lead God's people out of that darkness into a new era of light. And then what happens at the time of Jesus' birth is that there's all this light. The wise men follow a bright light, a shining star. The shepherds are confronted with angels who are shining with heavenly glory, which I don't know because I've never seen that kind of scene exactly, but it's often pictured as a very light-filled sky. Jesus was 8 days old and he was taken to the temple, and there was an elderly prophet there called Simeon. He rejoiced because he said, "My eyes have seen God's salvation. This child will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. This child will be a light making God's ways known to all people." And so at Christmas time, as we are perhaps on the road at dusk or in the early evening and see all the pretty street displays and in the shopping centers with the trees and the sparkle and the lights, these are pointers, these are reminders that we need light shining in darkness. We need to have a light at the end of the tunnel. And John 1 says Jesus is that true light. There are plenty of fake lights going around, half lights, wannabe lights. I saw this cartoon this week. Pop that up for us if we can. Visibility murky. Politics, visibility murky. Business, visibility murky. We live in a world where darkness, whether it's from bushfires or political spin or from business or personal wrong, it's a symptom of our lostness. And Jesus is the true light. Many of us try to make our own light. One of the mottos that school children learn today is, "Just be true to yourself." But actually, that's produced a generation which is marked by a fairly self-obsessed frame of reference and an ever-decreasing mental health. Journalists and politicians say, "Look to the light in the state," or "Believe in the light of the marketplace," or "Trust in the light of ever more powerful technology." But for every step into the light we make with our politics or economics or science, well, darkness is still there shadowing us. All the good things we create are also still tinged by potential for harm. And the Bible diagnoses our sinfulness with a painful accuracy. The heart, it says, is deceitful above all else. Left to our own devices, humans may act for their own self-preservation, and we seem powerless to genuinely achieve lasting peace and hope in the world, because as individuals, we are compromised by our resistance to God and our preference for darkness, our rebellion against his way. No one has been as genuinely God-centered and other person-centered as Jesus, constantly giving wisdom and healing and hope to those the world consigned to the too foolish or too sick or too hopeless basket. So on our own, we're not the true light. As people, we have this potential, this incredible potential to do such amazing good, to shine good light, to be people of generosity and compassion and mercy. But when we actually set out to do those things, yeah, we can do those things, but we do them imperfectly. But Jesus is the true light who followed through on every commitment to love others. We know that because he followed through even at the cost of his own life. And so, is Christmas for me? Is it for you? Well, if your life has been touched by personal darkness, yes. He is light to give you hope and future. If your light is burdened by the murky visibility of the world around us, then yes, Christmas is for you, because it says that God has shone a brighter light into this murky world. Verse 5 in John 1, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness hasn't overcome it. Is Christmas for you? Yes. If you open your eyes to see who Jesus is and why the Magi followed a star to find him, why the angels sang about his birth, Christmas is for all of us who are seeking that truth and goodness and hope and a way of living in the world which doesn't continue the cycles of selfishness and disharmony. When Jesus died on the cross, we're told that darkness covered the land. The light of the world descended into darkness in order to bring us into God's beautiful light. And so Christmas is for you and I because Jesus, as God with us, does what we can't do ourselves. He frees us from the darkness of our sins. And he does this as a gift which we can't earn, which we weren't good enough to deserve. And he does it in a package so unpretentious, so unexpected, so vulnerable that so many people just overlook it as sentiment and just a story. Now, a second remarkable insight from this passage that helps us see the significance of Christmas is found in verse 12. To all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, Christmas is a time of great joy, yes, but it's also a bittersweet time for many people today because Christmas reminds us of our longing for family. And it may be that all the emphasis on gatherings and relationships is it's right because we're created to be in relationship. We're loving and caring and responsible and creative relationships enable each one of us to flourish and to feel good about ourselves and to have a good place in the world. But then whether it's through illness or death or stress or mistakes or failure, whether those are our own or others, these things mount up and family life is often the thing that suffers, the thing that gets bruised or broken. And Christmas time for many families is actually a painful time. If it's marked by the loss of family members who've passed away, or if it's marked by tensions between members in the family that haven't been reconciled. And so at this time of year, Christmas is a tough time for many. But as John's Gospel explains it, the darkness which causes that pain has been overcome by the light. All human families which have been touched by the effects of sin, by the effects of this darkness, God shines his light into that. And God does that by building a new family around Jesus. Verse 12 says, to all who receive him, that is to all who receive Jesus, to all those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Because God became one of us, because God took on flesh and dwelt among us, he opened the door for us to become like him. That is, he opened the way for us to become God's precious, beloved, significant, creative, caring, sharing children. So all the things that we were created to be and which get undercut or undermined by our own sin and darkness, they get remade anew when we join God's family by believing in Jesus. And verse 13 explains it more. These are children not born of natural descent, not born of a human decision, a husband's will, but they're born of God. Now, what does that mean, to be born of God? Well, it's distinguished here from biological processes. You don't get to be God's child simply because of who your parents are. You can't be born a Christian. You can't be born because of what your parents decide. It's not about ethnicity. It's not about pedigree. It's not about how rich you are or clever or how well connected. None of those natural biological factors matter. Being born of God is what Jesus later on explains as being born again or being born from above. It means realizing that as a natural biological being, we are stuck in this world, which is still tainted by sin and darkness. It's tainted by the rejection of God. And so being born again means turning to God and saying, I can't become what you mean for me to be, no matter how hard I try, because darkness is not just a problem that's out there. There's darkness in me too, and I can't ever fully escape it. Being born again means admitting that we've got a sin problem. And next, being born again means believing Jesus is who the Bible says he is. The shepherds, the wise men, they were filled with wonder and awe and gratitude because they were convinced that Jesus was God's promised king, God's promised savior. And as that promised king, he has the right to rule. He has the right to tell people how to live in God's kingdom. And being born again means living not just like people every day around us, people who try to rule their own lives, people who use power and fortune and beauty and status to sort of set themselves up in this world. No, being born again means ditching those kings, those things that people are living for, because they're actually tyrants, because you can't ever live for enough power and fortune and beauty and status. We ditch them and we say, I believe and I accept Jesus as my rightful king. And thirdly, we're born again when we receive a new power source for living God's way. Now, there's a big technological quest these days for clean, cheap, renewable energy. You know, a source that will replace the world-damaging fossil fuels that we've been relying on since the Industrial Revolution began. Now, in our personal lives too, we need a new energy source, a new way of living that isn't going to harm us or harm those around us. Those who are born again say, come, Holy Spirit, fill me with your power, do your work in me. And that's God's promise, that to those who ask, they will receive God's Spirit to work in them and renew them. So admit, believe, and receive. Admit our sin, believe in Jesus as our King and Saviour, and receive the Holy Spirit as God's power source for living his way. If you do those things, life will never be the same again, because you will have been born again. And when we're born again, we enter God's family, and the isolation, the distance, the hurt, which is created by living in this darkened world, whether it's through broken relationships or the loss of loved ones or whatever, it's replaced by the warmth and inclusion of knowing and being known by our loving Heavenly Father. And so we have a family in which we belong, a place in which we're secure, eternally and unconditionally loved, a family in which we share a priceless inheritance as citizens of heaven. And so that's the spiritual impact. We are forgiven by God, we're reconciled to him, and that impact in the spiritual realm then has an immediate impact on our human relationships as well, where it's easier to forgive and be reconciled. Being part of God's family helps us be a better part of human families as well. It helps us bear with difficult family members. It helps us, if we are one of those difficult family members, to actually learn to change a bit. Following Jesus gives us the strength to try again with relatives who've hurt us in the past, and being forgiven by God helps us extend forgiveness to those who have wronged us. And so peace on earth is not just this motto or a pipe dream. No, Christmas is for you and for me in our family lives too, in our work lives, in all our relationships. So Christmas, is it for me? Is it for you? Yes, it's for everyone. So don't keep it at arm's length. Don't treat it just like something you buy at a special on sale and then you throw it away on Boxing Day. It's not just a tradition. It's not just a community gathering. Christmas is a personal invitation to see the light, to receive the light, and to leave the darkness of life without Jesus and begin a new life living in him as a child of God, born again with a secure future shaped by our loving, giving, gracious, truthful King, King Jesus. There's a wonderful carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it's just so compact and so succinct. It says this: light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Let's pray. Lord, this Christmas, help us not just celebrate it as a tradition, as a time of shopping, a time of feasting. But Lord, we pray you would do your work in us. Be born in us, we pray. Help us to be born again, to come to your light, and let our lives be transformed by all that you can do. Amen.